K-Mud Podcast presents.
You've got K-Mud Community Radio's The Cannabis Show with your hosts, Steve Dodge and Sunshine Sarah Seda. Today, our guest is Eric Bello, who is one of the founders of the Hall of Flowers. And we're going to be talking with him about the Hall of Flowers, which you all may know is a B2B, business-to-business trade show.
Yeah, it takes place like where a couple of places in California.
Yeah.
Well, he'll give us some more info.
Currently it's Santa Rosa. Ventura, but it's coming up to Santa Rosa. Mm-hmm. He'll tell us. Yeah. Say, Javi, do we have our guest?
I'm online, yeah. How you doing, guys?
Hey, Eric, how you doing?
Hey, welcome to the show.
This is Sunshine, Eric, Sunshine, and real pleased to have you here. I want to know all about Hall of Flowers, but first perhaps you can tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm pleased to be here. Thanks for inviting me on, guys. You said my name. It's Eric Bello. I'm born in Boston, Massachusetts, back in the 60s, and moved out here for college. I went to school in Los Angeles at the University of Southern California. That's where I fell in love with the flower that's grown up in Northern California. I had friends from Humboldt County that lived in my dormitory, and they exposed me to some of that, and it was tough to ever go back to Massachusetts.
No, that's great. That's great.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, for sure.
I hope you're still enjoying the good herb here from Humboldt.
I still do.
Beautiful.
It was a far cry from, not to say that you wouldn't get it in Southern California, but it was a lot of stems and a lot of seeds and a brick when you would get it in Massachusetts. But seeing the green fluffy with no seeds was amazing to me.
Yeah, I started out, I went to college in San Francisco, and the pot that was readily available was that brick pot, dry, ugly,
right,
full of seeds. I thought I was smoking, but I didn't really know until I got a joint from a friend of mine who lived up here out in the backcountry. So what were you doing in college?
I went to school originally went to school for aerospace engineering, but quickly realized I wasn't going to go that way, so I ended up going just into communications, which I used and really went into sales as a result of communications. I went to work on a show that is no longer around, but at one point was the largest trade show in the United States, talking about B2B shows. It was called Comdex, which was an acronym that stood for Computer Dealer Exposition. It was in Las Vegas. I worked on that show for, about 10 years. We sold it in 1995. And with the money, the owner bought he had already purchased the old Sands Hotel where the Rat Pack used to play, and tore it down and built the Venetian Hotel. I joined him over there at the Venetian and ran sales. I ran convention sales, group sales, basically, for that hotel for a long, long time until I met my partners who really had the ideas for Hall of Flowers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, well, so you didn't come into it cold. You came into it with a raft of experience from the sounds of it.
Yeah, I think all the partners had their own experience in trade shows and certainly in cannabis. And so, yeah, definitely I had that experience from Comdex, from the Venetian, really, dealing with. So I met my partner. He ran a big apparel show before he did this. I ended up selling him into my convention center, the old Sands Expo and Convention Center, now the Venetian Convention Center. He had sold that show, and another of our partners, I had sold his show in there, and he had sold his show, and then the three of us joined together on Hall of Flowers.
Sweet. Well, you know, Eric, not not everyone knows what B2B means or what a trade show was all about. Can you tell us a little bit about the Hall of Flowers?
Yeah, like where some of that inspiration came from to start it.
Yeah, this was 2017. It was a time when it was just going wreck in California. And B2B, meaning business to business, so this is not a consumer show. But this was like the, if you go back to the experience I just said, the Comdex show, it was business to business. Same thing with the shows they ran. It's every industry has shows by which the manufacturers of the products have to reach the resellers of the products. You know, even today's consumer electronics show that's going on this past week, you know, they want to be able to, they show product and then they'll sell it in Fry's and through other retail locations that people, Best Buy, that people can buy it. In this industry, there was no platform really for, I mean, Emerald Cup existed, but that was a mix of consumers. There's other shows, but nothing really where the manufacturer, the brands themselves and the farmers and the growers, now certainly the brands to be able to reach retail dispensaries that were opening at the time, and then really for cultivators, growers to reach the brands to sell to them. So the idea was to bring together really the world's finest cannabis, the buyers, you know, brands, even tech and manufacturers, I mean, eventually. But, I mean, in the beginning, when we first started it, it was really just for brands, farmers, and retailers to get together.
So,
and to do business, basically. Again, the idea here is, you know, look, we all love to smoke, and recreationally it's fun, but this was to make sales, to be able to get their products onto shelves, or for the farmers to be able to sell to the brand and get their product into the brands.
I mean, part of it, though, and what makes the Hall of Flowers a fun experience is the branding and how strong the branding is for, like, all the different companies. And so each business really does show, hey, this is what we look like. This is what, you know, like, yeah, what their image is quite strong at that event.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, when you think about it, it's not like they have a storefront, a lot of them, I mean, unless they're vertical and they own the retail, too. So this is their one chance to showcase themselves as a brand and say, hey, this is what I look like. This is my mission. This is my ethos. This is what I believe in. This is why the product is like this. And so, yeah, that's what gives the show the color.
Yeah, and it does have color, for sure.
I went online, and honestly, I used to go to the Apple Expo down at
Moscone.
Moscone. And the pictures I saw of the Hall of Flowers look very much like that. So one problem I know that people have is the expense. There may be big value in it, but sometimes it's hard to pull out the moolah. What kind of typical expense would a farmer expect?
I think, look, there's a couple things there. I mean, you're right. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, I think that for those that can afford to, we have sizes of all types, pricing options at different types. And I will say you're looking, you know, beyond the expense, you're looking at the return on your investment. And hopefully, you know, you return 10 times what you spent. Hopefully you're, you know, you've made so many sales that it's going to pay for itself 10 times over. Now, I will say, you know, what we did, because we've heard that, I mean, we've heard that many times, we did create, beyond the normal booth, let's say a 9x10, which is, in this case, $6,500, you know, that's a high price point to start at. We made a lower price point with basically a stand, a craft stand, where people can showcase their products, still sample, and we offer that for $2,500. Now, again, I'm not saying that's still a lot of bread, but I mean, I think, again, based on what we do to go out there and market and really pay for a lot, to be able to bring in those buyers, to make sure that, you know, these are not what they used to call tire kickers, that they are actual decision makers that make the decision on whether they're going to buy that product, I think it's well worth it. I think if you talk to the vast majority, I can't say all, but the vast majority of our customers, they'll tell you that, you know, their return is is worth it.
Well, you know, I've heard nothing but good in that regard with the Hall of Flowers.
Yeah, I mean, it's going back to the challenge of doing sales. I mean, getting FaceTime with the person who's going to make that, who's going to, you know, make decide if they're going to carry your product is huge, because it's right. difficult. I mean, what are you doing? You're like trying to call them, send emails. Like, it is hard to even get the attention of a buyer.
It's hard. And I'm a salesman, and I've been in sales, like I said, in different areas, right? So you can, and I talk to all the sales reps out there, and you're right. It's hard. It's hard to get through blockers. It's hard to get FaceTime with the person that makes the decision. You know, a normal sales rep that's going on the road and trying to deliver samples and trying to meet with the decision maker and then following up and emailing and calling. Now, here's a place where they get to see, you know, the best quality of decision makers in the shortest period of time.
And
that,
yeah.
that is the real benefit.
And it's casual, and the buyers maybe not so distracted with like their day-to-day work, just a little more present.
That's right.
And just having that presence makes all the difference when you're trying to show something. They're not distracted by business, other stuff to do. So yeah, it really, really is is
Eric,
needed for sure.
One of the things
you're so right.
One of the things we push on the show, and our listeners, maybe they're even getting tired of hearing it, but we say happy smiling faces. It's that your presence as a brand, as a farmer, is what's going to sell your product. So let me ask you, as a salesman,
true.
I've heard an old saw, which people don't buy the product, they buy the person or the vibe. Do you think that's true?
I think it's definitely true. I mean, I think there's no doubt about it. I mean, I think they listen to the person's story, they listen to the uniqueness of their product, and then the trust, and like you said, the smiles and all that, the relationship drives it. No, I mean, of course, they're trying it out. So, I mean, I'm going to say it plays a role in it for sure. You know, the product itself does. But it really is. I mean, you're so right. Now, I mean, that's one thing. The more things change, the more things stay the same, really. And it's really the people that sell the product. And that's why, you know, I always encourage – I always have to bring the grower, the cultivator. You want the people that really can explain it the best. Mm-hmm. Obviously the owner who's got a mission statement, but definitely it's the people that sell, and that's where and that relationship is what brings them back to.
That's such a big thing, you know. A one-time sale is basically worthless to you.
It's
that returning buyer,
right? So how marketable is Humboldt in your opinion, and what are some of the things that you think Humboldt could do, either with, you know, each farm individually with their brands or even collectively? What are some thoughts that you might have for us there?
That's a good question. Mendocino does a good job of bringing Mendocino Cannabis Alliance and bringing brands together. And coming out there and taking a presence with a whole bunch of their brands, Woodwhite Highcraft, a whole bunch of them. I don't see Humboldt doing that. I mean, what I do see, you know, Humboldt Family Farms and such, you know, a number of the companies will come separately, which is great. I mean, I think, you know, it really depends on whether they want to market themselves separately or whether they want to market themselves together as a whole, but the reputation of Humboldt County, I mean, it's so strong in the minds of consumers, even in Southern California, that I do think, you know, a presence in the event that really showcases a whole bunch of farmers would be something that, you know, is advantageous and can, you know, you talk about the cost, but it's a lot better when you share it with 25 companies, you know, being in the spot.
I mean, I'm not always seeing the same. I mean, we do know that there are consumers that love Humboldt, good Humboldt herb, but I'm not always seeing that same attitude from the retail buyers. They're not exactly necessarily like, oh, I have to have Humboldt on the shelf. Or I just don't really see the same enthusiasm.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it is a different day and age. That's true. But, you know, part of it is how you sell it, you know, and how you market it. I think if it's marketed and sold properly, then, you know, soon the customer speaks what the salespeople speak. So, you sure. know, if it's marketed out there properly, I think they do. I mean, I think, again, with Mendocino, I've seen that more and more over the last couple of years. Hmm. Mendocino Graphics, Mendocino Naturals, a few of those guys that do the show.
Sure. So it seemed, you indicated it seems so, that two farmers could share costs. Or
yeah.
Yeah. So that
multiple farmers could share costs, you know, to go in for sure.
And when you said 2,500 for the stand, is that a pretty small space?
It's 25 square feet. It's not a big spot.
Oh, it's okay. It's 25 square feet. Got it.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely small. But I mean, you know, look, it's small, but it's still right in the center of the show. It's you can still sample your product. I mean, you know, you still have representatives there to be able to talk to. You have two people that can take that and talk to customers. I mean, so it's...
Yeah, yeah. That's great.
I'm telling you, I've seen many, 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 many companies affected. Judy from Soul Spirit Farms, for example, Judy Nelson, she mm-hmm. took one last year. Great success doing it that way.
Yeah, that's great.
For sure. So Soul Spirit made it work.
Made it work fantastic. I could give you a hundred examples of that.
100 examples. That's right. So how many participants do you usually expect?
We'll have about 300 brands usually at a show. Now, some will be all under their sales and support. Like you have High Road that brings 13 different companies and others, you know, where they're under one group and others that take their own. But in total, you'll have over 300 brands that come, and already, you know, maybe more importantly, you got over 700 dispensaries that are confirmed right now. We'll probably have 900 dispensaries that attend the show.
Wow.
So representing a total of around 4,000 people.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, now I'm talking about the next show, which is down south. We do one down south and we do one up north. We do the one down south is coming up in March. It's March 19 and 20 in Ventura. It's at the Ventura Fairgrounds, right at the beach. And up north, we do it in September. We're in the Santa Rosa Fairgrounds.
Right, at the Santa Rosa Fairgrounds. Sure, I've been there before. It's a good venue. What do you have the dates when it's going to be happening up in Santa Rosa?
You know, I don't have the dates yet, so I would say coming soon.
You know? For sure, coming soon. So we were talking about happy smiling faces, and you mentioned how people want to see product.
They do.
So is there a mechanism at the Hall of Flowers for people to actually show their product?
Yeah, and it's, you know, they sample, which, you know, you can't hand it out. That's illegal. But what they do is they have a retail partner with a POS system, and then everything is uploaded to Metric. It's, you know, the DCC watches over, and we play by the rules here.
Of course.
And basically what they do is they'll give out samples at a very – it has to be a purchase to be legal. Can't just hand it out. Okay, that's you just can't just give somebody an eighth. What we do is they'll charge a nominal cost, like $3. And so a dispensary owner will come, pay the $3. You know, it's like a mini, each booth is like a mini dispensary. They buy it right there, process it, and they get their product.
So if as a farmer,
so by the way, they're not only looking at product that they're showing and demoing, and they've got jars there, but they can buy the product at a nominal cost to be able to try it and test it. And because there's consumption, usually they'll go right outside and go try it.
And by cool. outside, what do you mean?
Well, our both shows are a mix of indoor and outdoor. So we're using that indoor space, you know, in the Santa Rosa Fairgrounds. There's a few buildings there that you can set up exhibits.
Oh,
but
yeah.
We also have outdoor activations, and there's companies that go outside, that take, like Backpack Boys did a two-level thing this year, and they're outside. But anywhere outside in that space, you can consume.
All right.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That's cool. So you actually set up some pretty cool lounges and different themes. That's nice.
I want to break
exactly
in here,
yeah.
Eric, and remind our listeners that they've got KMUG Community Radio's The Cannabis Show with your host Steve Dodge and Sunshine Sarasota, and that we're talking with Eric Bello, one of the founders of the Hall of Flowers.
KMUD is a community radio station in the Redwood region of Northern California. Donate to support people-powered radio at kmud.org.
And we normally don't take callers until the bottom of the hour, but we got a caller waiting. So I want to remind our listeners that you can call in too. You can reach us here at 923-3911. Javi, our engineer, will get you in the studio. That's a 707-923-3911. Give us a call. We want to hear from you. Javi, you want to get our caller in? Hi, you're in the studio.
Hi. I have a question, and I'll take my answer off the air.
Okay.
I understood that it was the $2,500 for the space. Now, if some people wanted to gather and put together some promotional materials and things like that, I mean, obviously there's going to be some other elements that were going to be needed for a trade show, whatever it be, printed flyers or posters or something like that. Do you all offer any type of services that would help the farmers out with that? Thank you very much.
Thanks for your call. Do you have that sort of auxiliary service that you offer?
We do have a newsletter that goes out on a weekly basis. At the show, there's content. I mean, there's a speaker program, and there are other sponsorships there. But as far as a flyer or posters, I mean, I don't have anything like that. I mean, the aesthetic is pretty clean. It's all related to the event itself. But it's interesting. I mean, if whoever that caller was, I mean, I would say I'd love to hear your ideas.
Okay. Hope our caller's paying attention. I know that often that's another hurdle that people have trouble with, having their advertising material, especially for someone who's new to this kind
of
thing.
Yeah, you got to show up with your menu for sure.
Yeah, there's a basic there, even if you're going to do a show and you want to toot your horn, I mean, to the amount of money you can spend, you want to toot your horn.
Yeah, you need some good pictures, good story with it.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Some nice photos would be good.
And you'll see that, You'll see that in the booth. You'll see they do – okay, each booth will print up, different materials. You're right. Some with QR codes on it, some so that it directs them. So for sure, I mean, each one is doing their own promotions. I just meant as a whole, as the organizer itself, really, we're printing up mostly stuff just related to the event itself.
Right.
Who the speakers are, give basic descriptions in the program guide, but that's pretty much where it ends. I'm always open.
Tell us about the speakers.
we always try to, you know, we haven't announced the speakers yet for March, but it's always, you know, there's a speaker application. There's a lot that'll apply for, and we try to cover some of the current topics. We try to have a CEO level if possible. I mean, this past show, we had Ted from Alien Lab speaking, Caleb from Connected. I mean, frankly, a number of speakers. In the past, we've even had outside the industry, Gary Vaynerchuk, who is, if you know VaynerMedia, who's very big. We've had Chelsea Handler come in, who had invested with NorCal Cannabis, I think, or NorCal Cannabis invested with her on doing a brand. Method Man has come. So it's a mix, you know, it's a mix. But they're covering topics that are basically topical at the time.
So is this a pro bono, or do the speakers get a fee?
No, the speakers don't get fee. It's pro bono. They come in and look. It's just part of the overall program. Any attendee of the event can come in and listen to the programming.
Of course, and there's a great deal of value there. You know, if people don't hear you, they don't know you.
There's great. Great education there, too.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Eric, I got to ask, would a couple of Humboldt – I know I got Sunshine Smile and she knows what's coming out of my mouth. would a couple of Humboldt radio people make good speakers?
It's possible. I mean, I don't know how far along they are. I think they're pretty far along for the speakers from March, but – I can always have to send you the link and application, and you fill it in. And it's, you know, there's a separation of church and state. And I'm really, you know, if you look at the owners of the company, I own a very small amount. You know, it's Danny Diamond and Rama Mayo and Aaron Levant that really are the main founders of this show. I am a much smaller piece of it. We each run different areas, not Aaron, but Rama runs marketing. I run sales. Danny's the CEO. He's mostly an operations guy. But when I say a separation of church and state, because I run sales, I don't get to pick and choose speakers or do that, but I can give you the link. And then it's up to that team.
Please.
In other words, they don't want me to promise any exhibitors that I'm trying to sell that they're going to get a speaking role, you see?
Oh, of course.
It's just like a magazine. Any magazine will tell you this. The articles, you know, they're not going to specifically be about the advertisers. They can't guarantee that.
Of course.
I mean, I've tried to get a media pass, like, I don't know, several times. I've kind of given up now, but I did try.
Huh.
Well, you should try again.
What's that?
You saying for a Hall of Flowers?
Yeah.
Well, email me after we're done, and we'll make sure.
Okay, I'll give it a try. Thank you.
Appreciate please that. Do send the link and any information you have about the speaker application. It intrigues me, and it's close by. I mean, Santa Rosa is, relatively speaking, close by.
Right.
Yeah, and it is true, the educational value of the speaker series. When I went to the Hall of Flowers quite some, maybe it was 2018, I'm thinking.
Okay.
Or no, wait,
I think
19.
That was the year that Gary Vaynerchuk spoke, I think.
No, it was 2019 that I was there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Gotcha. And I did catch some good speakers, and they are good topics. It was a good show. And also new things, new technology. That's a good place to kind of find out like what some of the new trends are in particular. So I kind of do have like a couple of reasons why I attending the event is good, and one is, of course, just meeting people and expanding one's network, but also is just looking at the trends and just hearing the conversations about like where things are going and just getting a broader sense of that.
Well, I was
there's in a good track with the master Ed Rosenthal and some other growers for this year. That was fantastic. And talking about where it's going. I mean, it's there's no doubt about it. That's a key piece.
Mm-hmm. I think so. And you know, people might be surprised at the amount of information and insight that you can bring back. I was into IT and I an Apple guy, and I went to the Apple Expo, and I often came back with a fistful of new ideas and new equipment, a bunch of things like that. So let me ask you, Eric. Here I am, and I'm walking through the Hall of Flowers, and I come up to a brand's booth or a farmer's booth. What might I expect? In the past, I've been like to I just drew a blank on the name, the really big one up here in Santa Rosa. But anyway,
Emerald Cup.
Thank you.
It used to be Emerald Cup.
Yeah, it's still Emerald Cup. It's just Steve who can't remember it's anything.
They moved to Oakland, I think, this past year.
Oh, yeah, I heard that. Yeah, they moved to Oakland. I'd come up to somebody's booth, and there'd be little jars with their product, and they'd let me open the jar so I could smell it. There'd be literature there. What might I expect at a booth when I'm walking around up there?
Well, I think they're certainly going to ask you if you represent a retail dispensary or a brand, and you know, and they're going to then ask you a few more questions about what you're, you know, if there's something you're looking for, and then chances are they're going to, you know, if you're looking for flower, you're looking for a particular strain, or you're looking, if you're representing a store and you want to, you know, you're thinking about, you've heard of this brand maybe, and you want to consider putting it on your shelf, you're going to ask to buy a sample. And they're going to, or chances are, they're going to be telling you, they're going to say, can I offer you a sample? And if so, then it's going to be $3, and you can just pay right over here, and you're going to go in and pay the $3 and get your sample and be on your way, and hopefully come back and talk to them about putting that on your shelf.
So I'm going to guess that the farmer or the brand can't walk around the event with samples in a backpack.
Well, they're not coming in with it, but there's always a show back, and it's always sponsored. Last year was sponsored by Compound Genetics and Nabis. This year it's from Zigzag and Nabis again sponsoring it, and it's a big bag. And basically, when they're getting it, they're it's like Halloween. They're getting their samples and they're collecting them. And
okay,
up to a certain limit, you know, and then up to a personal possession limit, and then that's what they're bringing back with them.
Okay, so we were a little earlier talking about casual, personal, and I'm wondering about after parties, off to the side, kind of tailgate marketing.
Yeah, those are good.
I've always liked there's a different feel to an after party. People are more relaxed. Can you talk about that a little bit?
With every Hall of Flower show, there is many, many after parties. It seems like every brand. You know, we did our own, not really. I mean, it was still sponsored by a brand last year. But what we found is it just doesn't make sense. There's too many. Almost all of them want to do their own events. And so this is no different. This coming one in Ventura, just like the last one in Santa Rosa, there must have been, 25, 30 after parties. So, you know, you end up going from after party to after party. It's like a bar crawl.
Yeah, right.
But instead of, you know, thank God, no alcohol, it's just, it's all consumption in those areas. But it's, I think you're right. I mean, I think business is done at the after parties too. I mean, it's a relaxed way to see everybody. And you know, they're all brand sponsored. So they're bringing their products there for people to try.
So is it fairly typical that it's a personal invitation to get you into one?
Yeah, I mean, invitations are handed out at the booth, so you'll go by a booth, they'll say, come by our party tonight. Sometimes it's promoted ahead of time. It'll be on Instagram. It'll be, some of them are promoted. If it's big enough, it might even be, we might help promote it. You know, they'll ask us to promote an event.
Sure.
I know there's a few that are being worked on for Ventura. Now, whether we're going to promote them or not, I can't tell you. I don't know right now.
Of course. And I just heard you say no alcohol.
No, it's always just cannabis, no alcohol.
Yeah, is that basically a legal thing?
I don't know. You know, I'm not saying there's – who knows? There may be some where they throw it at a bar and maybe there is, you know, you can go to the bar and get it. But for the most part, I can only think – I haven't seen one. I've only been to ones really where it's where there's just cannabis.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking about the after parties I've been to and how much fun they were. It's certainly, I think, anybody going should keep that in the back of their mind.
Definitely. Yeah, and you know what? Everybody's asking. Like, even when I'm walking around the show, they'll be like, what are the best after parties to go to? Tell me. So definitely keep it in mind. You're going to want to go to the after parties. They're
yeah.
always fun.
Yeah, I agree with that. They're always fun. So we've touched around on this, the advantage to farms and brands to dispensaries and I'm assuming distributorships. Could you drill down on that a little bit for us?
I mean, the farmers have the opportunity to sell product to the brands, you know? So even when the example that I gave you was a farmer going to the booth, they're going to ask a bunch of questions. A farmer trying to sell bulk, you know, they'd certainly be willing to talk to him about that opportunity. The brands clearly, and by the way, the bulk farmer might want to talk with his distributors that are even taking booths there. Pound Distribution, Up North Distribution, there's a bunch of them actually.
Yeah.
They may want to talk to distributors as well, and they'll go over to the booth. If you're a brand, you're pretty clearly focused on the dispensary itself. You're focused on getting your brand onto more shelves.
Got it.
And if you're the dispensary, well, you're here to look and see, well, how can I make myself more money? What products can I bring into the store? Are there new devices that I can bring into the store? Are there new strains that I can bring in? Are there brands that I don't have? Are there other... I mean, you know, they're talking about deals there and their ability to be able to look across at all the brands at one time and be able to evaluate and make an educated decision on what they want to put on. I mean, it's great for them. So, I mean, there in a nutshell is the advantage to all four of those segments.
Sure. And those are, I think, substantial advantages.
Definitely. And all with the fact that, you know, they're going to make money. That no matter whether it's the dispensary buying product that's going to move, whether it's the brand that's going to get onto more shelves, whether it's the farmer that's selling more bulk now to other brands that he didn't sell to or to other distributors, another distributor that he didn't know. I mean, there's really, that's the fundamental, that's the unique selling point of this show.
For sure. So can the brands and the farmers actually sell a lot of their product to an individual business, or are there restrictions?
I mean, they're only doing small samples at the show. I mean, there's personal possession limits and everything else. Anything else, deals cut after. Anything else? Look, they established the network. They met the person. The person got a small sample. Maybe they gave away a gram to him, and he tried it, or a pre-roll, or whatever. And then chances are, you know, he can make an order there on the spot. I mean, but it's not like they're handing him a big, you know, bag full or, you know.
Right.
It's then the transaction is followed up afterwards with the proper distribution, delivery, and everything else, you know. But, you know, the key thing is that they met, they shook hands, they saw each other face to face, they know each other now. There's some trust that's been built. Yeah. Like you said, the personal relationship is there. And then the follow-up is the execution of getting it and delivering it to their to them, and hopefully continuing to deliver it once they run out.
And I think that part too, it's a step away from the cold sell, you know, which
absolutely,
yeah, which can always be hard, you know.
Oh, just yeah, to put definitely, it. Yeah, for sure, and also just the amount of time that you spend on like cold calls or even just walking into a dispensary hoping to even meet the buyer, like all the amount of time you could spend. Just like weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks doing that. Or you could go to something like the Hall of Flowers and just do it all in 2 days or something, you know.
That's it. And then on reordering, it's like, you know, they know you. It's not a cold call. I mean,
yeah,
the hot call where they've already met you, you've already transacted business,
and,
or you've met and you're close to transacting business, but they still remember you. So for sure.
And I mean, and on a more not so happy note, if you're a farmer who hasn't been paid and you know the retailer's going to be at the Hall of Flowers, well, you can go to do some rounds and go collect.
Go collect.
that's one of the current topics. Let's face it, we all know that's one of the current challenges out there in the market, that, you know, COD is hard to find these days.
It's really hard to find, and whether the industry likes it or not, the farmer and the brand are suspicious, you know?
Sure.
I mean, you know, you want me to front my pot? In the old days, you know, what do you mean front the pot? It's money, it's
exactly.
Money or nothing,
exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So – I know the state themselves seem to realize that they kind of blew it the way they launched here in California. And they have, and I feel in a sporadic way, but they have been trying to make amends and make things easier or more effective. Have you felt that or seen that at the Hall of Flowers?
I mean, if I start overall, just starting with, not many states have an organizer and event license in the cannabis industry. So for that, that's great. So they help to make this platform, you know. So the DCC, you know, we're like any other cannabis business that has to get a license. And that's great, because you don't see that in a lot of states. You know, see it in New York. You don't see it in Massachusetts. You don't see it in...
Why is that a good thing?
Well, because if it's regulated, I mean, it's, you know, it's making sure that it's not black market, really.
Okay,
I mean,
yeah.
You're making sure, I mean, it's really, it's good. It's good for the legal cannabis industry to provide a platform for legal licensed brands to reach legal licensed retailers.
Okay, I see.
You
yeah,
know?
I see what you're saying.
So,
yeah.
I mean, in that way, they do a good job with us with that, you know, and so I praise them for that. Now, that all being said, you know, I don't know when that's the DCC. The taxes imposed by the state are prohibitive. They're too high. And I know the benefit is there, you know, what comes from that money, but still, I think that's part of the problem with why the black market still represents 80% of the cannabis sold in California. It's because, you know, those taxes that the government puts out there
I've been kind of rethinking that.
Exorbitant.
I've been kind of rethinking that lately. And honestly, I think that the regulations and the way they're done here in California, it's just not giving the consumers that great of an experience. And I think that's also part of the reason why it's been challenging. So it's the high taxes and the experience, because it's hard to make a move. Like, even just like, you just can't do anything without taking a bunch of steps. Like, Yeah, it's sort of like trying to run a business in a straitjacket. It's not easy.
Yeah, and I've been in regulated industries. I mean, I was in gaming, you know, and this is much more. The regulatory environment is much more strict, and it makes it difficult. It certainly makes it. It's another thing. I think that the taxes, frankly, there needs to be more dispensaries. There's a lot of cities and towns. I mean, the vast majority don't allow them, don't have them. So, you know, what's crazy is, you know, you go up to Canada, and in Ontario alone, in that small province, I mean, which, you know, has a fourth of the population of California, they have 1,700 dispensaries. In California, I think we now have 1,100 dispensaries. So that's another thing. You know, is that there needs to simply be more that's going to help the market. There needs to be more locations to be able to purchase it.
We do have a caller, so let's get him here because we're getting to the top of the hour. Hello, welcome to the show.
Yeah, I like where the conversation went here at the very end. And I think one of the things that we're trying to search for is, great, this is regulated, and it's regulated license to license. All that is fantastic. And what we're missing, though, is that we're regulated, we're paying the taxes on all sides, retail, cultivation, distro, transport, and we're doing that to the state. But what are we getting in return? We're not getting that protection that we're getting paid for product we moved through the legal system. And I think that's the point that we need to make. Because we come to the show and we're regulated, and we can make these business arrangements, and we pay our taxes, but now what is the state going to do back for us to protect us that are all doing business in this regulated market, and they're not protecting us in the sense of getting us paid? Or even if we get robbed, it's just click a button and you lost the material. So there's no investigation if you get robbed, and you're not getting paid if you send your product into the distribution model. So
that's an important point,
and I think that's what we were searching for in the past 10 minutes of conversation.
You're so right. I mean, and I would add and crack down further on the black market
I'll have to say that the overtaxation is only driving the illicit market, right? Like, that's what's driving it. It's not that we need a crackdown because enforcement doesn't, like, that's not good for the people, right? Like, a fair and equitable market that we can all operate in and let the consumer go to where they see the best value for the best product, that's where we need to go, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's a good opinion. And I think that I remember the old days, crack down all you want. It didn't really affect the market.
And it just sent some people that probably didn't need to go to prison when it was just such a crazy time. But I'm going to jump off. I know you're at the end of the show, and
thanks for
sharing all this. Thanks.
I think
you're right. I think that was a great comment.
Protection also, but it would take, you know, it'd take, like, distributors would need to carry pretty huge bonds to be able to really pay back for any kind of lost material or to cover themselves from theft where they have to pay the farmers. And then that would mean there'd only be like one to two distributors for the entire state that could really afford that kind of a bond. So I think that's why they set it up like this. So it leaves us unprotected, but then we have more options for distribution.
Well, the same thing may apply to the COD. I've run a distributorship, and as much as I object to the idea of fronting pot, the idea of dragging money I don't have out of my pocket to pay for the pot, it's hard, you know.
It is, and that's why you're seeing 30-day net terms and 60-day net term. I mean, that's, you know, and then unfortunately it goes past that, and it's a challenge, and there's no easy solution.
it's just going to hurt the independent people the most, because they'll pay those large corporate accounts that are carrying 25%, 40% of their shelf space. That corporation will get paid first. But if you're an independent farmer and it's just you and your brand on the shelf, you're going to be the last one to get paid.
You know, Sunshine, but that might be all the more reason to have a presence at the Hall of Flowers, because when people see who you are, what your product is, that happy, smiling face, Eric, then the customer might be much more inclined to want to get that smaller farmer because of the nature of their product.
I mean, to get paid, they got to see your face not just that one day at the Hall of Flowers. They got to see it almost weekly.
Yeah, it's true. That's true.
Yeah. I mean, I think it helps, though. I think it does help.
It's
tough to look somebody in the face and then do that. But but not to say that it doesn't happen. Of course it does.
Yeah, of course.
Well, we made it to the top of the hour, Eric. And I told you that you were a talker. And we've had a great conversation here.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I really appreciate you coming on the show.
Yeah, it's been great.
No, I appreciate you having me, and I'll send you the link, and hopefully we can get you over with a media pass.
Oh, awesome.
Oh, okay.
Much appreciation. I love that.
Do you have any closing remarks you'd like to make?
I would only tell you that, you know, we do the best job we can. I mean, it is tough, and some retailers, you know, there is issues there, but you know, for us, really, it's to bring a platform together, to bring the finest brands, the finest, you know, to bring the buyers, to bring them all together in one place at one time, to make it the most cost-effective way to reach the most amount of buyers in the shortest period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we do.
Exactly. Exactly. No, it's cool. It's cool. It's really cool to see all those brands come together and to kind of just get an idea of where things are going.
I think so.
All right. Well, thank you for your time, guys.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Have a great evening. Thank you.
Yeah, have a good evening.
All right.
So you have been listening to KMUG Community Radio's The Cannabis Show with your hosts, Steve Dodge and Sunshine Saraceta. We've been real pleased to have Eric Bellow from the Hall of Flowers talking with us. I want to remind everybody that a Hall of Flowers is coming to Santa Rosa. There'll be more information on that coming out later. Next week, well, you're going to have to tune in, listen in, and call in. I actually have 3 or 4 possible guests lined up, but I don't know which one will be our guest. You'll just have to listen to find out. Anyway, good night, Eric. Good night, Sunshine.
All right, thanks, Ollie.
Good night, all. Good night, Raph.
This has been a KMUG podcast. To listen to other shows and more episodes of this show, find us on all the platforms where you get your podcast, and also on our website, kmud.org.